We are reading Ephesians 4 from 17 to 28. 1175. Instructions for Christian living. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance to the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regards to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Evelyn. Let me pray before we start. The next verse in Ephesians says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Father, I pray that this morning as I speak that no unwholesome words would come out of my mouth, but what I do say would be helpful for us to be built up as a church, that it would be useful for our needs, and that it would benefit all of us that listen. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe keep a finger in Ephesians, but flick back with me to Exodus 20, so page 78 of the Church Bibles, Exodus 20, and our passage for today is verse 15. It's another easy one. It's just four words, only two words in the Hebrew, and it could be two words for us. Don't steal. Or in verse 15, you shall not steal. And it sounds fairly straightforward, really, doesn't it? Just don't nick stuff. That's it. Right, should we go for lunch? Well, it sounds really straightforward. It sounds really simple. And in many ways, that it is. But there's also a lot more to it than that. There's this negative command that we have, don't steal. But we're going to see this morning as well how there are some really good and positive principles behind that for us as Christians. And my aim for us in the sermon for this morning is to see that Christians shouldn't take or desire anything that God hasn't given them, but that instead we should be generous. And we're going to have a look at the principles behind the command. We're going to think about what the command looks like for us and how we might need to change as a result. And just as I start, I want to say up front that I recognise that this might be a hard topic for some of us. And perhaps you have in the past or now experienced poverty or not having things that has meant that stealing has felt like the only option, has felt like all you can do to deal with your situation. And that's extremely difficult if that is the situation that you're in. And I'm not really going to directly address that situation for most of the sermon, but I will come back and touch on it again at the end. But I do want to say that this isn't about condemning us, this isn't about making us feel bad. There is grace for us, we're going to see that as we go through. And at the end, we're going to touch on how, as a church family, we can help each other for those that are in that kind of situation. So, we've been working through the Ten Commandments over the last few weeks. We've seen that those commandments, as it says on the screen, are God's relationship rules for rescued rebels. God's relationship rules for rescued rebels. God has already saved his people from Egypt. And after they've been saved, he's given them these rules to help them to live as his people in his kingdom. Keeping those rules, that isn't what saves them. He's already done that. They keep them out of obedience to a God that has saved them. And each command on its own is important, and we do need to obey what the commandments say. But we've seen too that each command has a set of principles behind it. You might remember this funnel that Luke's been using to demonstrate that. You have one command down here, the sort of outworking, but then you have a load of principles, a load of other things behind it that kind of feed into that command. And so our command today is, do not steal. You shall not steal. That's the outworking of the command. And probably, we all think we have a pretty good idea of what stealing is. We probably think that we'd recognise it if we saw it. And we probably think, I don't steal, though. I would never steal. Well, as we look at the principles, as we look at the things behind that command, I think maybe we'll see that perhaps we do, more than we think at least. So stealing is to take the money or the property of someone else against their wishes. It is pretty simple, really. If someone else has something and you take it from them without their permission, you've stolen it from them. That's kind of it in some ways. But it can look very different. We can see it in a huge variety of ways. There's the really obvious kinds of stealing, being mugged on the street, bank robbery, taking something from a shop without paying for it. Then there's some stuff that isn't quite so obvious, but we can still kind of tell that it's wrong. Fiddling your work expenses, not paying your TV license, overcharging that client just a little bit. And then there's the stuff that maybe we're not quite sure about. We kind of maybe get a sense that it could be wrong, but many of us end up doing it anyway. Maybe downloading films or music without paying for them. Buying cheap designer clothing from a friend who somehow got a really good deal on it. Using our sister's boyfriend's aunt's Netflix account that got left logged in. Yeah, you're laughing nervously there, aren't you? There's countless ways that we can break this command, and that's just some of the more obvious ones. And there's lots of ways that we can directly steal. And we might not even imagine doing most of those. But some of them, maybe we would. So what are the principles behind the command? What's lying behind this command of do not steal? You might remember from last week that we were thinking about adultery and how Jesus said that adultery was wrong. But if you just looked lustfully at someone in your heart, that was the same as committing adultery. I think that same principle applies here, but how does it work with stealing? I think it's a little bit tricky. Jesus doesn't, in the New Testament, directly address the issue of stealing. He doesn't talk about what it means to steal in your heart. And I think potentially he doesn't, because he doesn't quite need to, because it actually comes up already in the Ten Commandments. When we're going to get to commandment number 10, we're going to see that God commands us to do not covet. Coveting is about wanting in our hearts. And I think that kind of is the same thing, really, as stealing in our hearts. And the principle is the same. Don't steal, but also don't desire in your hearts what you don't have. Don't desire to take anything that God hasn't given to you. If you see something that somebody else has, and you want it, you wish that you had it rather than them, then that's stealing in your heart. So we might not go out and steal a car, but every time your neighbour drives past in their flash Audi, and you think, ooh, I wish I had that, it's like you've stolen it. if you're a site older, you might remember at the start of videotapes or DVDs, we used to get those adverts that would say, you kind of get this big black screen come up and it would go, you wouldn't steal a car, you wouldn't steal a handbag, you wouldn't steal a kettle, various things like that. Remember those, some people? Yeah, good, okay. And the idea of that is to make you think, well, you wouldn't steal those things, so you shouldn't also steal films and things like that. But in a way, I think it turns out most of us would steal a car. Most of us would at least think about it, or would desire to have something that we don't have. Maybe you see your friend's new posh handbag and you think, I wish I had that. So in some ways, it is as though we are stealing in our hearts. So as Christians, we shouldn't steal, but also we shouldn't desire anything that isn't ours. But why? Why is this so important to God that he puts it in his top 10 most important instructions to his people? Well, I think for two reasons, which we're going to look at, property and provision. In this command, God shows us that he cares about property. He cares about stuff, the material things of the world that he provides. And ultimately, all of those things, they belong to God. Psalm 24 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So if we steal, first of all, we're stealing from God. That's the first person that we're taking it from, because it all belongs to him. But God has also given all of that property, all of those things in the world, to people. He has chosen to do so. Sometimes for reasons that don't always make sense entirely to us. And so he cares about property because he cares about people. He wants people to be able to flourish, to be productive, to work, to be able to produce things and not to be in fear that what they have will be taken away from them. He wants those in particular that have very little to be able to keep it. He doesn't want them to be hurt, to be abused, to lose what they have. Because stealing really hurts. It's difficult to lose what you have, especially if what you had to begin with was not very much. It can also be painful and scary, and if you've been mugged or burgled, you know how awful that experience can be. And if that's you today, maybe you're still struggling with the effects of something like that. Well, know that God hates that crime. He hates those that steal and take from those that don't have. And he will punish those that do it. Stealing hurts the poor and the vulnerable the most. And so God wants us to respect people's property out of love for him and also out of love for our neighbour. But this command also shows that God is concerned with provision. He wants us to trust that he has provided exactly what he meant to provide us with, and he will continue to provide all that we need. So we've seen, haven't we, that stealing is a problem with our hearts. When we steal, we say something about other people. We say to them, I matter more than you do. It's better that I have this thing than that you have it. If you take something from a shop without paying for it, what you're saying to the owner of that shop is, I don't care about you and your job and trying to make ends meet. It's more important to me that I have whatever this thing is, whatever these sunglasses or shoes that I've taken from your shop are. If you see your friend's new phone and you wish that you had it rather than them, you're thinking, God should have given that to me and not to you. When you download something illegally, you're saying, I don't care about this artist and all the years and months of work and effort that they've put into creating this thing. I just want the results for myself. But also as we do that, we're saying something about God. When we steal, we're saying to God, I don't trust you. I'm not happy with your provision. It's not enough. I don't trust that you will provide what I need in the future. So I'm going to take what I think I need now. The Bible consistently tells us that God has given us all that we need, and that we shouldn't worry about the future, because he will continue to provide for our future needs. God wants our hearts to be satisfied with this. He wants our hearts focused not on worldly property and things that we have now, but on him and all that he has given to us. So if we cheat on our tax returns, we're saying to God, you've not given me enough money. I need more. And so I'm going to take it, even though that means breaking the law. If we steal supplies from work, we're saying, God, you've not given me what I need. So I'm going to take matters into my own hands and deal with that problem as I see it. When we steal, we sin against others, but our heart attitude is sinning against God. So God cares about property and the people that he's given it to, and he cares about provision and us trusting in his provision. So what does that mean for us? What does that look like for us? God cares about property and people. So we shouldn't take or desire anything that God hasn't given to us. If someone else owns something and they're not willing to give it to you, don't take it from them. God has chosen for them to have that property, and it's not up to us, it's not up to you to decide differently. Now, one really quick disclaimer at this point. I'm aware that this argument can be used dangerously and in a nasty way. We could use it to end up saying, well, God has decided that rich people are rich and poor people are poor, so we should just leave it that way. That's just how it's supposed to be. And people have said that kind of thing for a very long time. I don't think that's the implication of this verse here in particular. There's a lot of kind of complex arguments in economics that I'm not going to go into. But what I am trying to say, what I'm not trying to say, is that if you're poor, then that's how God wants it to be, and you just need to accept it. That's not what I'm trying to say. I am trying to say that if you are poor, it's not up to you to change that by illegally stealing. That is not the answer. Now, you might think, or you might say, oh, but the rich are rich. They can afford it. They won't notice anyway. And I think I've heard that argument quite a lot, even from Christians, as we do things that justify, in order to justify breaking this commandment. Imagine Rich. He's got this friend that's selling cheap designer jumpers. Now, he doesn't know exactly what's going on, but he's heard something from this friend about getting one over on the return system, something like that. And he's not sure about it, but he thinks to himself, well, it's okay, I've bought them now, and, you know, Ralph Lauren probably wouldn't mind, because he's minted. So, you know, it's fine, I'll get away with it. Or think of Carla. She's ordered some CDs from Amazon, and they've delivered her order twice, by mistake. She just thinks to herself, well, they haven't noticed, so why don't I just keep the extra one? They have loads of money, it doesn't matter. I don't know about you, I've done that. That's happened to me. And it's so easy to justify, isn't it? It's so easy to think that we can just get away with it. There's all kinds of ways that we end up taking what isn't ours, what God hasn't given to us. But God is clear. He cares about property and he cares about people. So don't steal. And maybe try and be honest with yourself. Some of those things that you justify to yourself, are they actually okay? Or are you really just stealing and getting away with it? And God also cares about our hearts as well as what we're doing. We shouldn't take or desire what God hasn't given to us. He has promised to provide for all of our needs. And when we keep this command, when we don't steal, we show that we have faith in his provision. And when we take more, when we want more, it shows that our hearts don't trust him, that we're thinking that he hasn't provided enough or that he won't provide enough in the future. And we can do this in lots of really subtle ways. Imagine Leanne. She works as a carer and she gets 25 days of holiday a year. That's great, and she really loves the long summer breaks that she can get from that. But those holidays mean that she doesn't quite have enough time for all those little extra things in life that she needs to get done. So every now and again, she takes her sick day, even though she's not actually sick. Because work give her 8 days of sick leave on full pay a year. So that's basically extra holiday, right? Just use that to fill up that time. Well, no. Leanne is stealing. She is taking time and money away from her employer. She is stealing from them. She is hurting her employer and probably her colleagues as well through her attitudes. And her attitude is, well, God, you've given me this job and these holidays and this money, but it's not enough. I need more. So I'm going to take it, even though it hurts those around me and even though it's wrong. Or think about Tim. Tim's just gone into year 7 at school, and everyone around him seems to have a new smartphone. But he doesn't, and he really wants one. In lessons, he'll stop paying attention and daydream because he's thinking about the new phone that he could get and getting to play Minecraft on it when he has it. And when his friend gets the newest iPhone, Tim just feels jealous and angry because he didn't get one. He's always trying to borrow his friend's phones to have a go on them. In his heart, Tim just really wants a new phone. He's not satisfied with the friends and family and all the other good things that God has given to him. He just wants a phone. And so in his heart, every day, he's stealing one from those around him. He's desiring what he doesn't have. We shouldn't take or desire what God hasn't given to us. And yet we find ways of doing it all the time, every day, either in our hearts or in reality. Ultimately, to one degree or another, all of us are thieves. All of us steal. And that might sound pretty sad, that might sound pretty awful. But the good news is that's not it. That's not where God leaves us. I want to show you an image. What do you see in this image?
God dying with 12 people.
Yeah? So we've got, yeah, God, Jesus, dying with 2 other people on either side of him. Who's on either side of Jesus? Thieves. Yeah, thieves and robbers. That's who's dying on either side of him. That's what we see as we look at this image. People dying that had broken this commandment. People that were dying because of their wrongdoing. But when God looks at this image, he doesn't see Jesus and 2 other thieves. He sees 3 thieves. He looks at this image and he sees 3 thieves. Because on that cross, Jesus becomes a criminal. He becomes a thief for us. When he dies with those other thieves, he takes away all of the wrongdoing, all of the shame and the guilt and the ways that we've offended God. And so on that cross, he could turn to one of those other thieves and say to them, I'll see you in heaven with me today. You'll be with God forever because you've trusted in me. That's what he says to all of those that trust in him, even though we are thieves. One day we will have all that we long for when we see him. We're nearly done, we're getting there. But I want to apply this as well in one final way. We've seen that God has said, you shall not steal. We've seen that Christians shouldn't desire or take anything that God hasn't given to us. So far, lots of things not to do. But is there anything positive that we should do as well? Well, yes, there is. Let's look quickly back in Ephesians chapter 4, which we read earlier, back on page 1176, and verse 28. Verse 28 says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Up to this point, Paul has been explaining to the Christians in Ephesus what it looks like to live as a new Christian. The Christian is a new person with a transformed life. And so Paul says, stop sinning. Stop living your old life. Stop stealing, verse 28. And do something positive instead. Work. The person that has been stealing must stop and must work, doing something useful with their own hands. Stop sinning. Work. Be productive. And Paul might then say, work and earn money so that you don't need to steal anymore and you can be content with what you have and you don't need to steal. But that isn't what Paul goes on to say. He says, don't steal, work so that they may have something to share with those in need. Don't steal, give. Work so that you can be generous with those around you. Make money honestly, not so that you can have the stuff that you desire, but so that you can care for those around you. Don't take money, but actively give it away. I mentioned at the start the difficulties of being so poor that you can't think of any other options but stealing. A Christian should never be in that position. A Christian is part of a loving, caring, protecting family who cares for them. They're surrounded by us, their brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are called not to steal, but to give, to provide for our siblings, to care for those in need. And this is what God desires for us, for our hearts not to be focused on what I want, what I can get, but focused on others and what they need and how I can provide for them. How good would it be if, as a church, we knew that every time someone had a need, others would step in to help them out? And there are ways that we organise this as a whole church. We have a fellowship fund for those that need urgent and immediate help. And if you're in a difficult position financially or with other issues, do ask. Do come and ask for help, because the church can help and provide you for you in that situation. Speak to Luke, speak to one of the other elders, if that is you. And if that's not you, perhaps think about contributing to that fund so that it can be used to help others. But it's not all about money. It's not just about pure money, but think about it on a personal level. What needs do those around you in the church have? And what skills or experiences or time do you have that you could give to help them? How can we seek to love one another as we turn away from stealing and towards generosity? Let's ask God this morning to help us think less about what we don't have and more about what we do have and how we can be generous with what we have towards other people. Thinking more about others and less about ourselves frees us from jealousy. It puts into perspective that feeling of not having enough. It helps us to fully appreciate all that God has given us. So Christians shouldn't desire or take anything that God hasn't given to them, but we should be generous. I hope that as we've thought that through, you've seen areas of your life where you may not be obeying this commandment. But I hope too that you've thought of ways that you might seek instead to be generous, to give rather than steal. So we're going to take a few moments now to reflect. I'm going to give you a moment or two just to think about ways that perhaps you've not respected other people's property or not trusted God's provision. And maybe try and think of one way that you might seek instead to be generous in the week ahead. So give us a few moments to think, and the band will come up and I'll pray and then we'll sing together of our Lord and Redeemer before we close. So let's just take a few moments now. Father, we thank you for your continued abundant provision to us. Please would your Spirit be at work in our hearts, helping us to appreciate all that you've given to us, all that you've done for us, and not desiring what you've given to others. Help us to be a church that gives generously out of all that you provided to us collectively and to us as individuals. Help us this week to consider how we can not be focused on getting more and acquiring more and taking from those around us, but on giving and providing to those that are weak and that are needy that you've placed in our lives. And we pray it all in the name of the one that is the greatest treasure of our hearts, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.